nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome everybody to our workshop meeting in April. We've got a couple of guests. We've got Jonathan Popper tonight. He wants to speak a little bit to the Red Schoolhouse. And we've got Pat Zuda. She wants to give us a little information about the tree planting and things of that nature, the beautification of our town cemeteries. Pat, if you're ready, maybe we'll give you the floor first and, you know, give us a little overview of what your thoughts are. I mean, and I've already met with Pat multiple times. We've had conversations, I'd say, over the last at least 2 years, if not longer. I'm in my third, fourth year here, and it was always a project that I wanted to kind of take a closer look at. We have a lot of trees in our cemetery that are old, and some have blights or diseases in the a lot of blue spruce, so we have a lot of the same species or varieties, and then once they start to go, it's really been a little devastating as far as the trees in the cemetery, and that's taken a great interest in that. I appreciate that. So, you know, she was approached the board multiple times, or at least myself, about trying to see what we can do to make that better. So, if you want to give us a little, some of your thoughts would be fantastic.
Sure. I live across the road in Valley Park, and I'm over there almost every day, either on my bike or walking. And I noticed a few years ago that the town started taking down trees, but they weren't replanting. And when I went and talked to the village clerk, she said, oh, yeah, Storrs is going to be planting some trees there, you know, in spring. And so that didn't happen. And so I, you know, found out who the town supervisor was and met Dale, and we spoke several times about it. I'm on the village tree council, the Catskill Tree Council, which is just for the village. And I'm also a master gardener, and I'm friends with a woman who's a master gardener. She's also a master forest owner, so she's very interested in trees too. And we met with Dale last week to go over the library, the cemetery, to talk about what could be done and if we could get a little money. I'm willing to, you know, I even planted a few trees that I pulled out of the ground for free and tried to get them going, but they need a cover, you know, some kind of a guard so that the deer don't chew them up, and they need to be fairly tall. They don't need to be real big. Like, we don't need to have Storrs come down and plant trees. Dale offered to have a cemetery crew with their backhoe, you know, dig the hole, but it's all sand up there, so there's not really any rocks, and anybody who can use a shovel can dig a hole, you know, for a 2 or 3 foot tree. I belong to the Arbor Day Foundation, and they have a whole catalog of trees. They tell you how tall they get, and most of them are only a foot tall, but some of them are 2 to 4 feet tall, and they ship them in centimeter in the spring or the fall, and I would be willing to look at them and be over there a lot to take care of them. They also sell the guards for the trees, these plastic circular things that you can put around the trees to protect them from the deer. And they also have these bags that you see around the tree so that the crew doesn't have to be watering so much. Because the first couple of years, they need to really, every week, get a lot of slow watering. So they really have everything in here that you need. And it's not expensive. The trees, you know, if you go out to Storrs, they could be $200 for a tree, whereas these trees are, you know, $50, $30, and we could just order a few, and they don't have to be big trees in the beginning. I thought we could just start out with a few ornamental trees that maybe only get 25 feet tall, that flower in the spring, that look nice, especially along that middle pathway where there's nothing there. And Dale told me that they're not going to be selling any plots in that really open spot. So there's like 25 feet on each side of the roadway that we could have a few trees to make it look nice and see how it goes this year. And if they do well and we have some extra money that we want to throw our way, then I'll be willing to talk with you know, the other master gardener or even the people on the tree council to get some more advice about what we could put in there. I'd like to have more shade. There's mostly evergreens in there now, and they're really, really tall, and they're all starting to die. So pretty soon, it's just going to be bare up there. And it's unbearable in the summer to walk there. You know, people walk their dogs, ride their bikes, walk, and it's really, really hot. So you can more shade up there and make it a real destination for people, you know, to use as even like a park, you know.
So I just have an idea. Up in Big Indian, I don't know if you're familiar with that, there's a park. And probably in the early 80s, they wanted to plant trees. And they asked people if they wanted to plant a tree in memory of a loved one.
Yeah.
And they did. And they, what the town did was they issued a plaque for the tree, but the tree was purchased by the family.
Right.
So that's just a thought.
Well, I even talked to Bob at the funeral home, the municipal funeral home, because a lot of funeral homes do that through their some kind of legacy program that people can plant. But we can do that through the village, too, if you needed something, I mean the town, through your website that people can plant a tree and honor a loved one. We just have to let them know that they can't have it where they want
right.
it, like they can't.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm all for planting trees, but I'm not in favor of Coleman Park. It's really, it's a sacred
right.
place.
Well, I mean, it's park-like, not that it's a park.
You're inviting, you know,
right.
activities that...
Yeah.
Right. Not a park, but it's a walking park. I mean, a lot of cemeteries.
Yeah, like a park-like setting.
So it's a rural cemetery. So, I mean, architecturally and ideologically, they're meant to be a space for the community to use.
No, I know, but I...
Yeah.
You know,
I get what you're saying. Like, it's not a place
for... Right, that's right. It's not just for fun to be. It's right. for somebody to want to take
right.
over, maybe,
right.
you know,
right.
have a bench or two where they can, you know,
right.
spend time
right.
with their family members while they're there. I mean...
Yeah, but they're... Yeah, it is.
He passed away yesterday, you know, yesterday, I stopped by and said, well, you know what I mean, so...
Definitely face some flowering trees would be. Nice addition.
Yeah.
Right. Like the cherry blossom trees or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I kind of was leaning on and narrowed a little bit on the variety trees. I mean, I've done a little research since we spoke in another Cornell McMaster Gardener. She actually was on our planning board, you know, and she's not the tree person, but Teresa. But a few of her ideas too also were like plant multiple varieties of trees or species because that way if something were to happen.
Mm-hmm.
with one variety that we're not going to give away, because we have a lot of blue spruce right now, and it seems like that's where our problem is.
So it's peckers low.
Yeah, that's good, right, for wildlife. But again, if something happens with a certain couple, we're not going to lose everything at one given time. I mean, we can look at maples. I hear maple trees also, their leaves kind of disintegrate easier and decompose quicker than an oak tree.
Right, you don't want to make it hard for the cemetery crew.
Correct.
You told me
Maine
they have
course.
A...
They were on the day course.
Yeah. They have a hard job. And
right, we don't want to... I mean, it's going to... Yeah, that's... But, I mean, I
was
going to
say, the cherry blossom trees, they're a pretty tree. They don't get crazy tall. I wish the other...
My crab apples
yeah,
are really
it's
nice.
Yeah,
I have crab apples that are blooming right now. My front yard, they're really nice.
And I... How about a red bud? You're familiar with this? They're native crops too.
Yeah, we'd like to get native species in there and not have like the calorie pears and things like that that now have become invasive and are not supporting any wildlife, no pollinators, nothing. They're like a dead zone for
I think the ones
insects and birds.
I took a few pictures this morning, but I think the few that we have in the front of our cemetery coming in, that I think they are a pear variety that's, you know.
If they're in bloom now and they're white like the ones out here, then yes.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
I love the tree, but they don't really work for what we're doing.
Yeah.
They
well,
work,
if you notice on that property that just got sold out by the thruway, that was full of calorie pears. Before you bulldozed everything over, I went out there and picked some stuff that I wanted for a dry flower arrangement, but it was just full of them. There was thousands of babies of them. They just proliferated, and yeah, it's not good.
And we also looked at a few, or I looked at a few different wholesale nurseries and things like that. I think there's like more. There's one nursery up in Schenectady that does wholesale Malaysia. And we could look at stories as well. But I think when we start getting planted by somebody else, that's a lot of labor.
I also asked her, too, because most of the tree places you can buy, they have like a 1 year or 2 year warranty on them, you know, once you plant them. So.
Yeah, I mean, stories will guarantee it if they plant it for a year. And they'll probably warranty it, too, if they sell it to you. But their trees are a lot. It's like $200, and that's a big investment. So if you're only spending $30, $40, you know, if you're spending $200 and you get five trees, you know.
Oh, the prices in here are really good.
They're really good.
I was thinking we should 12,000. Yeah, and get some, and get 10 trees off the nursery that are
right
there. Put them in, they look like they're already there.
5 or 6
more.
Yeah,
right.
You know, in the minutes books of the cemetery, the original charter would describe the types of plantings that they wanted.
No, it's yes.
Mount Hope Cemetery has a full list of the types of trees that were in there in 1845.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what the original charters were for Jefferson Earl or.
All the village cemetery stuff is gone.
Oh, good.
All that burned.
Really?
Because that's.
I have the rules that are still at the cemetery down there, the rules and regulations of what the cemetery was in. It is pretty much the same as today, though, what's allowed and what, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So they did have a plan for sure. So maybe we can research some of the other cemeteries and see
who these red maples.
Red maples are a nice tree as well.
I like the idea of the trees in memory of people too. You said you talked to the Pope of the Catskill?
I talked to the tree council,
so
the Catskill Tree Council.
That's a topic. Because he's the one that ran the program for the tree.
Yeah, but 9 or 10 years ago when he started, he didn't know about the invasive species of the non-native trees, and so they got the cattle repairs, and they're having a problem with these too, is they're all getting insect damage, they're getting blights and stuff, and they're not doing that well, but it's amazing they lasted this long with the small area and the sidewalk and the heat, and they don't have a lot of room, and there probably isn't good dirt down there.
Right. Well, they did a lot of the sidewalk.
And we talked
about 3 years down through here.
But I
know.
It was $400 a tree to get it planted.
I guess that both those groups of family owned the cemetery a couple years ago, they both said yes.
Because they only do the village.
Yeah, but they'd be willing to help us out.
Yeah, I know.
If you take a chance for it.
Right.
I mean,
so you're spending doubles amount.
Instead of spending, if we can get a tree for, you know, 150 or 200 versus a 600 tree.
Sure.
I mean, my thought was we could do what, you know, Pat's saying, and maybe we can still go to their street. The town can give us a jump start in the program where we can buy like 10 trees, see how successful we are.
Yeah.
You know, if we come back next year, we got, you know, no buds on the tree, then we better look at doing it a different way. And I think it's a great idea that, you know, even if we kickstarted at this point, and then have something on our webpage saying we would, you know, accept donations or through the, you know, the funeral directors in our town, that they can take donations, and once they get in even if everybody for that one family member contributed, then we could plant it in memory of that individual in that section they want, but not necessarily,
right.
You know, that's because we, I guess we're to a point, we want to keep all the planting on the perimeters of these sections, because, you know, right, there's a lot of graves, and then for maintenance, for it just, you know, it's best to have them.
It's actually nicer like that anyway, because then people are walking by, they can see who it's in memory of. It's by somebody's grave, only the people who go to that grave will see it.
If we could make some signage too for each of the entrances to the cemetery, so that people who go there to visit gravesite but don't necessarily go to your website would see that for the future, you know.
And like I said, I think if we get the directors that we have to even, you know, care or whatever does business with us, if we get, you know, put out something to, you know, those directors, they can also related information to the loved ones, you know, at that time. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing. And, you know, you might end up seeing it in obituaries and every, you know, where people can donate, so it can really move, you know,
right,
forward.
So I've purchased several trees for people through Millsqua or through dentist orgies, but I don't even know where they find those trees. Like, you're spending money. Does anybody know where they go?
It could be. It depends where it is. If it's national,
I never
could be
thought
anywhere
of it until
US.
This conversation. I'm like, wait a minute. I've purchased trees before. Where are they?
Yeah.
So,
right. It would be, and it's nice. Like, if you use the chain or whatever, or a plaque, and you put it in there in memory of so and so. And I think that's a great thing. I mean, I was at Alana one summer a couple of years back, and an individual from Catskill wanted a tree planted in this individual's memory. Wasn't something that was, you know, allowable to do. So,
yeah.
So I think it would be good, and then I think everybody buys into it a little bit more. too, so it becomes more of an ownership for everybody to see. I mean, I think it can grow for sure. So part of the signage, I think, is a good thing too. So and Pat's very interested. Jonathan's interested. We're all interested in the Red School Bus, but Pat was the one that was instrumental in getting the book swap that So it's kind of funny we're talking about Jefferson Heights, but at one point way back, it was the Jefferson Heights Improvement Associations or whatever that particular title was. So all the residents of Jefferson Heights had a lot of ownership to that little hamlet there. And really
did a lot had its own homeowners association.
Yeah, well, it did a lot of good stuff.
Homeowners association there too.
Wasn't your dad the president?
That was in the 70s.
It was a long time ago.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Did you get to spell or something? No, it was just a group of, like a citizen neighbor watch program.
So, does anybody want to make a commitment on doing a resolution for the amount?
Yeah,
$3,000.
I'd go $3,000.
You guys good with that?
Absolutely.
So we got a motion by Paul Vosburgh to spend $3,000 towards planting the trees, and Dawn second it, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. I think that will give us a jump start on what we want to try to do.
Thank you very much.
And I think we can use, I don't want to keep saying, oh, look, we're not in bad shape with it. We can spend the interest in
it. I've never dealt with it.
So, what are you saying now?
But we
want to get jump started on this. Soon, because this is the time here. Okay.
Moving
on from the cemetery, we've just got to get together now, I guess, and see what we want to purchase and from who we need to purchase from, and we can work together.
Get some from out there, order some from here.
We might have stories come and give you an idea about spacing, depending on the species, too.
I used to take gardeners, so I'm good idea.
They give you all the information there. They tell you how to plant it, where to plant it,
We got quite a good size.
I'm sitting here with a bunch of uniquely qualified individuals.
We're pretty great. I think spacing is we got a lot of stumps where the other ones are actually. So we need to go near, spacing where the other trees were actually in some of those sections.
Well, you're going to hit some roots, but we'll have to really look at it. And I'd like to get a drawing of the cemetery so that we can, talk about it for the future and kind of plan what we're going to do where so that we kind of... So we don't want to have the new trees be in the way of taking down these older trees, because I know you're going to have to get some big equipment in there to get these big trees down that might fall on somebody.
Where the property might be able to prove your plot.
Yeah, they have a big map of it down.
We have it on the board there. It's a matter of if we can get another one printed up. Jonathan wants to talk a little bit to us about the Red Schoolhouse. She sparked some interest as a historian. Ted Hillier. We did a tour about a month. And it was the last snowstorm we had, snowstorm.
Yeah,
it was
the big underwhelming snowstorm.
Yeah, so we went out there. Jonathan rang a bell at the schoolhouse, and it was really easy.
It was the highlight. It was perfect.
And everybody came out and wanted to go to school. South Carolina.
Groundswell of civic interest. So town of Catskill is a National Register site. I don't know actually how many National Register sites the town owns. You own this building, which is a contributing structure on the east side, historic district. But Little Red Schoolhouse, which dates to 1833, is a standalone structure on the National Register of Historic Places. It was designated as that because it's representative of a period of time when public education system in New York State is finally becoming standardized and widespread. It's unique for that reason. It's the second schoolhouse that stood in Jefferson Heights. I think it's the second oldest schoolhouse remaining in the town of Catskill behind the Judy Carl.
On the corner of Five, the lead schoolhouse on the corner of Five.
The old stone schoolhouse on 5 Mile Woods Road. Building's really interesting for a number of reasons, but the most interesting thing about it is that it still has potential for use as a public space, which is a real highlight. There's not a lot of National Register sites in our area that are public spaces that can be utilized by the community, that are owned by the community. So Dan and I have been talking. There's some funds floating around, and there's potential that at the board's discretion, some work could be done to address or evaluate some potential issues that are going on in the building to revitalize it and, you know, guarantee that, you know, for the next 20 or 30 years going forward, that the space could be used by community members. And that you could advertise it for use, because I think right now there's a lot of reluctance when you go into the building. There's some cosmetic issues going on, there's some questionable issues with part of the floor in there that might detract from its appeal if a community group wants to go in there. I know the DAR used to use it pretty regularly, and I think they've strayed away from using it for one of these reasons or another, but it would be a shame to see the building surplused off or neglected, to have fallen on itself and then be nothing. So I guess I'm here to petition that some evaluation be done, some funds be allocated, and, you know, naturally, what are the next steps beyond that? I'm happy to talk to you about that. Because I see this as being an opportunity where, you know, there are community historians in the area, myself included, who would be happy to pledge to using the space for lectures now and then. As the county historian, right now I have no office. The Greene County Historical Society has always supported the historian's mission and provided space. But if I want to go out with the community and say, okay, I'm going to have office hours, you know, at 5:30 at night or something like that, after everybody's out of work, you can come down and, you know, have a, you know, soda and we're going to do a presentation or something like that. There's no space that I have where I can go and do things like that in the town of Catskill right now. That's like a neutral ground that's out in the community somewhere that just serves as an empty template space. That's really what the school is kind of a blank slate that can be applied to any function.
I've always thought of that as what would eventually be an ideal space to display town history.
I'm good with hiring somebody to do an assessment of the building and see what it's going to cost to.
Right. Yeah. We need somebody really that knows.
Well,
I see things, but I don't
know. Like Richie.
What I see.
Oh,
Richie Rabbit.
He does all that.
Yeah. He just put together a 5-year plan for the Historical Society of the Bronk House, and to your end as well, it's a complaint I hear from a lot of people that if you want Catskill history, you have to go to Coxsackie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a number of reasons for that. The Historical Society never intended to be in Coxsackie. It just happened that way in the 30s, but the organization was founded by people from Catskill. The Greene County Historical Society has all of this material. But there are other people in the community who are reluctant to send stuff up 9W, who would love to see it in a vitrine, in a case somewhere, on display, so that, you know, once a month or, you know, 3 times a summer or something like that, you can go in and enjoy the space and have your kids walk through and say, that's, you know, Grandpa's fire helmet, or that's, you know, a picture of your great-grandmother's house. There's a lot of potential there. I think a lot of people would come out of the woodwork just because the board demonstrated that they were also interested in the building.
I think Robert Carlo would be so good.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has, I'm sure he would have a lot of interest in it if we got on that path, for sure. Because he has a lot of Catskill history.
He has
his own museum.
Smithsonian collection.
And he would be very good. like to display or donate to the Red Schoolhouse.
Well, that's just, you know, even if this means that, you know, at some point, you know, the building is stabilized, we just figure out a way to, like, have some, like, shadow boxes or something like that on the wall where we can rotate things out. I'm not saying that I'd be able to do that. I'm not saying I could lead the charge, but I'd be there to join the fun.
But I mean, as we move forward, I mean, there's a possibility of having a friends group, possibly, that would take a little bit of the burden again. Not the burden, but the time factor of really maintaining and doing a better job is fundraising. So you have different avenues.
I think we're looking at a lot of money to do what needs to be done.
I don't think so either, really. Yeah.
You know, because you're not going to do major. You're going to shore it up and make sure it does it.
And that's, I think, the Improvement Association. Back in the early 2000s, did all of the hard work.
Right, we were talking about that still, maybe they did.
They had a sidewalk, they were looking at the noggins, you know, the interior of the brick that's laid into the walls and things like that. They did a ton of stuff, and they put on a coat of paint. I don't know what they were using, must have had super glue in it, because that coat of paint just really lasted.
I mean, Rich is a community person. I think he would be more than willing to come up and give us a little assessment of it. Would be a good starting point.
You could pay him a couple of bucks to do it, you know, so you know that exactly what needs to be done.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to change the aesthetics and stuff. We just want to make sure it's pure, safe.
Right. Well, Corey Vincent told Ted it was yellow.
Right. It was yellow?
Yeah. when Corey Vincent went to school there, it was yellow. And I never asked my poppy, but I think he went there for a couple of years too when he was a kid. But you know, that's we're not going to split hairs.
Is this the Tilbury School?
I know. I think what's
different. I'm going to ask him because he had Brian as a friend of She went to school there. She actually walked up from Boscombe Hill Road up past the Elks Club, and she said a story that the teacher didn't show up in the morning. She actually taught class. So, you know, again, we're losing those stories. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, she's,
now,
I don't want to say age, but she's there. You know, I mean, you know, she's getting up there in age, so it's nice to get some of those firsthand stories while they're still available.
Well, that's just it. You know, if you provide the venue, that stuff comes out of the woodwork. I know that from experience. I say that with a straight face at 31. I know that from experience. You know, just take my word for it. Sure. But as a National Register site, I don't think, unless the municipality receives a very specific type of grant funding, I don't think there's a lot of requirements that you have to go through SHPO with any work that's done. I mean, naturally, the spirit of the whole thing is to keep it looking like it looks.
Right.
And, you know, the big thing is that plaster interior, and one thing that Ted pointed out to me right away, and it didn't click until I was in the building. It has a barrel vaulted ceiling, which is extremely unusual for a building that's that recent. You see barrel vaulted ceilings in schoolhouses that date to the 1780s and 90s. It's just a whole other era of construction that kind of fell away, and it's kind of cool that there was a carpenter at that time in Jefferson Heights who decided to do a barrel vaulted ceiling in that space, and it gives great acoustics. It looks interesting. It's very comfortable with the light, the way it throws it through the space, through the windows. It's a cool thing. And, you know, the fact that you guys already did the work to just make sure the heater's running at like 50 degrees is huge, because that takes care of so many of the temperature fluctuations that would destroy the plaster.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the only other schoolhouse I think off the top of my head that's of that size is the Mitchell Hollow, no, not Mitchell Hollow, it's the Sutton Hollow School in Ashland, which is owned now by the William Ashland Jewett School District. And they used to use it, they used to have classes come over there at the end of the year. They have a social studies class come in and have a session there, which is kind of neat, but, you know, the potential, you know, really is kind of endless if you find the right people who are motivated. So,
very good. So I guess we can start with getting an assessment and going forward like that, and then bring it back up.
Well, I came ready to talk about this for hours.
Well, you got anybody? Any questions?
I've been chasing a 2-year-old around all day since 7 a.m.
Okay.
So she's in
this is my food for the day.
Oh, no.
couple of coffee sessions. I love them.
I appreciate Jonathan. Yeah, right. When did we start voting in here?
When did we start voting here? About 15 years ago? 10 years ago?
Oh, more than that. More than that. Karen was still the clerk when we had voting there.
We still voted there.
Yeah.
And that was in 90, well, I guess, yeah, I guess it was 30 years
ago. Didn't we have the fire district vote there?
No.
No, that wasn't one of the locations?
No. I think... because Town Hall used to be a voting spot also. And then when the county took over voting, I think that's when it, maybe a year or two, it ended and they came down here, Jefferson Heights came here to vote.
I guess the question.
But that would have been 2005, 2006. Yeah, right, because the voting machines were all held downstairs, yeah.
This building's not easy.
But I appreciate all the information, interest, and
obviously I'm grateful for the invite, because normally I hear about these things after they've been knocked down. You know, that's really what it comes down to. You know,
and unfortunately,
I got a question for you.
Fire away.
We're looking for some old pictures of Main Street Leeds.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they're going to start a project out there in the highway department. And he was asking if we could come up with some old pictures to see what how the roadway was and the sidewalks. And
I've got a mess of them. William Corson, who was a photographer at Caro in 1910, he did a bunch of these huge glass negatives.
I don't think he's looking for that far back. Maybe like the 60s, 50s, 60s.
Yeah. I can probably find some of that. Yeah, I was going to say,
I got some of that. Or Bobby Carl Negative. Like I said, mine was on Green Lake, rode on a horse in like 1942. I got a few, but I don't know if they got the great shots, but I can give you some.
And then Bobby Carl definitely have some.
When was that actually like paved? It was in the 60s probably, wasn't it?
No, it was probably in the 90s. Because
it was a state highway.
In the 40s.
Well, that was a private road.
At toll stations.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Because the trolley tracks, I know they pulled some of those up when they were doing the, sewer or water work out there. The sleepers were
sewer.
There were sleepers in the ground still from that.
Bobby would be a good resource if he needed it.
Yeah, he's just looking for a few pictures to see how the sidewalks used to run and stuff like that.
I asked Bob, because the Historical Society, the trouble they have is everybody thinks, it's got to be from the 1800s to bring it up to Bronk House. I was just talking to Al Ram in Athens, and he's like, you want some of our family slides? I was like, hell yeah, I do. If they show Athens, in 1970, that's great.
Right, exactly.
I have a picture of Rowena being built.
No, that's pretty cool.
It's very cool. I found it in my parents' attic when I was cleaning it out.
All right.
And it's obviously it's black and white, but it was fading from the heat of the attic.
Yeah.
So I want to try to get that picture restored.
Well, you can. You'd have somebody scan it too. You can edit the scan.
Yeah.
But I can also leave my contact info if you have any questions. My cell's on the county directory still. Everybody's preference.
Sure. All right. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. All right. Thanks for your time. I can get your number. For sure.
As long as the town clerk has your number, we will all have it.
All right. Cool. I'll leave it with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, good. So that's good. And it's an important because we have this
I'm sure 10 has
people put up these all the time.
Yeah, I have this school.
And unfortunately, it went to private ownership and they didn't take care of the lead school and it's not. He's going towering down. You say, man, that would be such an attraction to have that as a museum of Leeds to walk up there and see.
This is the next school's apartments.
All we have now is we have the bell at the fire department.
Where is this?
Right when you go going into Leeds, you'll see it on the right side. There'll be You know the old fire?
Yeah, she's going to be on the left.
So if you come into Weed, you go around, you go past the Weed's firehouse, and you go around the corner, and then there's a wall, a nice stone wall.
It's before the garage.
And then you would walk up on the hill.
Oh.
And it bordered Church Street, the back was how you access.
There's remnants still in there.
What's that?
There's remnants still out there.
And the Leeds has the bell type of thing. I had it mounted when I was the president, but now, for some reason, they took that down and for weather, but they are going to build a display for the bell.
Oh,
so
cool.
That bell came from the front of Leeds. I had the grand old guys put my hole on there for
on the
and then they thought it was getting too weather and there's something to be here with the wall.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to move forward with some of our. But a few of our resolutions just to clean up some of the business that we need to do in the town of Catskill. So if you're welcome to make resolutions, and well, thank you all. I appreciate you.
I don't know, it's not over for
it. It is.
If I go to the website, Leslie was Facebook.
I don't know. I don't know if you have to be a member. You know, if you have to make a donation.
Sure.
Maybe.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's come up with a few issues or what have you that we can work for.
Thank you.
We can get together. Maybe we have to do something with the local nursery and make you a little bit of hope to get a kickstart.
Okay. We'll talk.
We'll talk.
Have your people call me.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for your interest. She's done a nice job. And we did have a conversation. I mean, we want to get the trees planted and all those, but we don't want to. Like, and it's nice to have a committee. But again, we don't want to have over regulations up there as well. We talked about that. You know, like a tree. You know, we want to plant trees and make it beautiful, but we don't want to be too much of a.
And most of those places, they'll only give you a warranty that they plant.
If you buy a tree at Lowe's,
what's that?
If you buy a tree at Lowe's, they warranty. Actually, I was going to bring that up. Lowe's has that community in the community that they donate some trees.
Yeah. They might even
be
We can look at the Lowe's and the Home Depot's because we might have a little.
Because they gave us the
way back, and I don't know if that's.
They're the ones that did the benches, right?
Yeah.
Was that Home Depot or Lowe's?
Every year they spoke to.
Just so I don't forget that. Just on benches. And I'm like, I think it may happen. I have the
PE. They did the gazebo down in Catskill.
Yeah. But I do have an individual that may want to purchase granite bench in memory of Jack Keller. I'm going to have a talk with the veterans group as well. And so as a private donation somewhere that, maybe the VFW or the Patriotic Committee or somebody like that. I mean, it's at the preliminary stages. It was only until I find out the prices and kind of do it. But I do have a lady that's very interested in donating. So just to put that on there. But, okay, so the next one we got is business authorization of credit card. Whereas Dale Finch, Supervisor Patrick McCullough, Deputy Supervisor, hereby certify that as a duly elected qualified officers of the town of Catskill with the tax ID. And whereas the town of Catskill has applied for and obtained a business credit card account, whereas if the account is obtained to be issued one credit card and embossed with the name of the designated business officer or employee that sales drafts and other instruments for charges to be signed by the designated officer or employee shall be valid and binding upon the town of Catskill, whereas either stated officer Kirsten Bulich, finance clerk for the town of Catskill, or empowered to authorize TCM Bank NA to make any type of changes to the business account. We've just had a couple of ins and outs just for a little history of credit cards being, becoming invalid or compromised. And if I'm not here to give her permission, then Kirsten, doesn't have the ability to investigate it. So just really kind of streamlining that.
What are we getting a credit card for?
Well, we have one right now for the bank from the Bank of Greene County, and it's historically been in the name of the town supervisor, and everybody uses that for like Amazon accounts. Now we have it's called FlowRate, is our new telephone service, and Kirsten went through a little thing.
So it's not a credit card, it's linked to our bank?
No, it's a credit card. No, it's not a debit card.
So it's a true credit card through the Bank of Green County. So it's not debiting any funds from us. You know, so if somebody from the highway department or the ambulance wants to purchase something from, could be Amazon, what's the other goals, George Plumbine Classroom goals and places like that. So when those purchases come in, then I check them and Kirsten checks them and make sure that they're going to, you know, that they're valid.
So we're going to have two credit cards?
No, one. It's this is really making Kirsten be almost like an authorized user. More
so where's the one you were just talking about?
That's the one. Recently, somebody put something on there for DoorDash. So we had a, you know, we got compromised somehow. Somebody had a $10 charge. And so what happens, you know, Kirsten can stay on hold for X amount of
time. So that one was canceled?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so now we're, you know, so we're, I don't know.
We have it. It's been reissued.
Was that what Kirsten's name? We're still mine on there, right? It's still mine. But now it's really given authorization for Kirsten to talk on our behalf to investigate that account is primarily what we're doing. And now Flow Rate is our new service for voice. And so what they do, they, you know, we talked to Kirsten about it. So they actually, it's like almost like an easy pass that you would have on your car from the thruway. They load it, when you need money, they load $30 on your card. And then as we talk or use that service, it, you know, takes it off that $30 that we have on account. So that's new to us, but that's a credit card based as well. Having said that, it looks like it's going to work out really well for us. The fees seem to be very, very, very reasonable from what we were paying before. But we got to get through that whole cycle. But so that's, again, on the credit card as well.
Motion by Jared.
Need a second?
Second.
Second by Dawn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried. So not the one, Liz, that we're going to sign that was good enough to sign this?
Yeah, I'll have a clean copy for you to sign tomorrow.
Okay, next one we have is for a seasonal laborer at the highway department, whereas Sean Deers, highway superintendent, wishes to hire a seasonal laborer for the highway department, and whereas Patrick Darling applied for said position, so therefore we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby approve to hire Patrick Darling as a seasonal laborer at the highway department, pending pre-employment screening at the rate of $15 an hour. So that came on Sean, he'd like to hire. Need a motion?
Motion
by Patrick.
Second.
Seconded by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried. Let's see. The next one we have is to authorize a hire for seasonal labor again at the highway. Whereas Sean Pierce, highway superintendent, wishes to hire seasonal laborers for the 5 Mile Woods Road brush dump, and whereas Paul Almarod Sr. applied for said position, so therefore we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby approve the hire of Paul Almarod Sr. for seasonal labor at the 5 Mile Woods Road brush dump, pending pre-employment screening at the rate of pay of $15. And both of the last hires that we talked about, you know, sometimes it's hard to get scheduling done, so nobody's going to work until they go through their, you know, the complete pre-employment. And then their effective dates will be the date that we actually bring them on to perform work. And so that might be like April 28th for Paul, but we'll see how that goes. So with that said, motion by Patrick. Seconded by Dawn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So is $15 now minimum wage or...
Minimum wage is lower, but our minimum wage, when we did our wage scale, our minimum wage is 15. But, you know, that's where we start. Nobody makes less than 15 in the town of Catskill starting in 2023. But minimum wage is 14 and something. And we're not far off to delay one of the ones that we're talking about, another agency that they're coming from as a seasonal, is $15 and like 29 cents. So for these seasonal positions, we're not far off from what some other organizations are paying. And then if you stay for multiple years, we have somewhat of a step in there right now. Let's see. Okay, this is the agreement that Sean, as everybody had.
284.
It's a 284 agreement. So everybody in receipt of that, you know, Sean gives a 284 agreement to repairs of 150 $5,000 should be set aside for primary work and general repairs on the 80.32 miles we have. His plan is to pave Grove School Road this year at 1.93 miles and an estimated price of $215,000. So I think you see that in the agreement. So we'll do that in the form of a resolution as well. So we're showing Gears Highway Superintendent.
So there's still no state budget. So we don't know what we're getting for CHIPS.
No, we have our allocation, right? We have our allocation.
But it's not guaranteed until they pass the budget.
True. Because right now the state doesn't have a budget. Yeah, but once they have a budget.
He's got a rollover balance from last year, the allocation.
Okay. Just
I can check if it's in the bank, and I believe it is. I mean, we have a spreadsheet, but again, is it fully funded, I guess, is the false question.
Because they're fighting over housing and this and that, right? So if we had to put $50 million into housing, then we can sort and say, well, we're declining your CHIPS and EWR and pay for potholes. And, you know what I mean? That's my only concern.
If we,
I didn't mind that we don't know what we're going to get. Until there's a state budget.
Right. I think we might have a replenished already in account, I think.
Yeah.
But I mean, the difference is that the budget changes. If we put the blacktop down, we might not get reimbursed for the next year. For the next year, we won't have the funds.
Correct.
Well, we have the funds now. Well, again, that doesn't mean they're going to give us more. Right?
They can give you all the letters they want. So if they
don't pay for the road? We're not going to pay the road?
No, I'm just saying.
Because he's already been working on this.
Yeah, he's already put the culverts in.
Yeah. Right. And it's scheduled to be paid in the middle of the night.
Right. Not just put it out there, that's all.
And right now he's only got Grove School done?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll double check that tomorrow. I think we're safe in passing the resolution, but I mean, Paul makes a good point.
No, it is a valid point, but I'm pretty sure that the rollover allocation will cover this.
Right. I think we've got the money in the rollover.
Counts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if they were going to do something, then it would just roll us back into this number come next year. If, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see the state taking CHIPS away, but.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Without an actual budget, you know what I mean?
If they do that,
it's not going to be good. I can't see them not reimbursing CHIP, but they might try to reduce it to a level.
Right. That's all.
But it's a good point to be on record about having checked that tomorrow, just to see, let you know. But I think we have the money's available. Again, they may not reimburse what we put down this year, because that's kind of how that works.
Motion.
It's basically covered. So we got a motion by Jared to pass the resolution to pave Grove School Road and assign it $215. So we got a motion by Jared in a second.
Well, it's $215 plus $150.
Right.
Oh, setting aside
150 for primary work. But we're approving the whole thing.
Right.
But if it goes south on us, then we might want to put the brakes on. We can revisit it. But But Patrick was saying that we already. We're pretty much contracted at the $215 for this Grove School.
Second
by Dylan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried. Oh, here we go. We got the town board has received a road naming application from Greene County Emergency Services on behalf of the applicant, Greene County IDA, and whereas this road will be the Gateway Green Commercial Park, tax map 138.00-14-1. And whereas the town of Catskill Highway Superintendent Pierce has no issues with this request, so therefore we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby approve the name Gateway Drive for the Gateway Green Commercial Park. It's a lot of gateways, but we need a motion, so we're going to really
only
name it.
Only as long as it's a county road.
It's a gateway drive, and it's going to be a county-owned and maintained road.
Okay.
So we want to specify that.
Yep.
And it's under the full, every piece of information I have, it's Greene County.
Is there anything already on that?
I've got to check that out. Another two things tomorrow.
The
I would say
the motion states that it's a county road, so.
It is a county road, so if it's not a county road, but we're still going to name it, but we're not, we can still name roads, that doesn't mean we take the responsibility of the road. So we got a motion by who?
I mean.
Patrick, seconded by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. So we're going to have this nice gateway drive for regard, so it's going to be to an 80-unit motel, a restaurant,
Stewart's,
it's going to look beautiful out there. It's the gateway to the Green County. What else we got going on here? Let me see what I got on my list here. So we got Jonathan Palmer. George still want to do a little bit more work on the ambulance billing position. So we'll work on that at our next meeting. We did that, Pat Esposito. Jared, do you want to talk about your Mid-Hudson?
Well, it was just, I know we were getting quotes and stuff, so I asked Mid-Hudson to take a look through and give us a quote. What I prefer about that system is we lease it, we don't own any of the stuff. So when it breaks, they replace it. When it's outdated, they replace it. When the technology is outdated, they replace it. They fix it. If it breaks, we basically just pay the lease.
I just think that's an awful lot of money for the seniors. You know what I mean? You could go in for $800 and buy a camera set.
Who's going to install?
They're not hard to install.
You have to run all the wires.
It's not hard to install.
Just saying, I don't have the time to do it. You know what I mean?
No, we're going to have to, if we're going to.
We've had two systems at Lacey's that got struck by lightning. We brought Vanessa in to do the system. We don't worry about it anymore.
If it was a high sensitive area, I'd say, but I just think it's a lot of money to spend for a service.
It's a reoccurring. Are you familiar with it, Dylan?
I only want it.
Because okay. In the quote, so what we have here is a couple of install prices and the equipment. It's like eight installation, including labor of the Cat 5 wire. It looks like seven outdoor security cameras. So it's basically $600 to set the equipment up. The other side of it's $165 a month for 60 months. So that it's really come down to $1,985.40 a year, and if we do the contract, we're at $9,927 over a 5-year deal. So at that number, we should, per our procurement policy, we should at least get additional quotes if we're interested in going.
It's not a bad price. Yeah. I'm just saying, do we?
What I like about their system is village police can have the app on their computer down there, and they can watch the parking lot from the police station.
Well, you had that app too. Well, I briefly looked into this. I guess the county is doing some kind of security system updates
right now,
and it was going to go to the village PD. But then some of this stuff I heard got expensive too, so it was like,
oh yeah,
very. So because then we could have tagged in and had it directed right to the village PD. I like having a security system up there too, because there could be vandalism.
Right.
Especially in today's.
But with some of the assistance that you provide, why is it on the bus?
Is anybody got any other ideas?
We bring the connection, which we tell who it is.
There's wireless cameras too. It's in need of.
I'm not saying that we don't need them.
The camera quality, and I would say. Personally, if we're going to upgrade, if it needs to be installed, I'd rather see somebody that can install it. Because, I don't have the people. We don't have the people, especially this time of year that's going to run.
They sell wireless ones, too. So you don't have to run all the wires.
The wireless ones, you have to have power source. Or you have to get up there and change the batteries.
No, power source.
You have to have power source, you have to get the power source by the wire.
Did you go over, Jared, strategically say where we're going to put these cameras?
Oh, yeah.
Outside us. Because, we've had in the past, we had rather now we had a storage bin out there, I think.
The one we'll pick up.
So easy.
Right now, you can't pick up a dumpster with the existing. You don't see what people are putting in the dumpster. Right. The new system, you pick up the dumpster, you pick up.
Well, the dumpster is locked.
It was wide open when I was there.
It shouldn't be. They got a key in there. When the guy comes in and picks it, we locked the one at Ricky Crane. Kramer, hate to say it, but Mark didn't know that lock. I said, Mark did a bad lock. He said, he used to work.
No, when I was there, you're talking about the blue one.
Yes.
When I was there on Thursday, walking over, it was wide open.
Well, it shouldn't, because once there's a lock.
The covers were actually flipped behind it, between the fence and the dumpster.
Then somebody didn't do it correctly. But those plastic lids come down,
yeah.
And then there's a bar there with a padlock, and the keys are inside the kitchen.
There was a lock.
It should. Well, then somebody didn't do a very good job of closing. But then we had the same issue at Ricky Kramer over the winter. So there would be locked that all the time. The highway, if they use it, they come up to get the key. And then, Mark, we're using it as an on-call. But now that the season started, it should be unlocked. So, you know, people that are using the park can use it. But, again, there's still vandalism. There's graffiti issues that can happen.
I just, the reason I brought up this setup was just the lack of need to own any equipment and to have, not have to replace anything ourselves. It's all on them. We're just leasing it.
That's true.
Which is a plus, yeah.
And the other thing is, you don't have to go there to access the DVR.
You can do them too.
Oh, is that the system?
Huh?
Is that the system?
No, this is the system that I installed at all the transfer stations for $500 a system. No, and there's no fee.
Yeah.
A lot that I can sit and watch everything on my phone.
And it gives you alerts. It gives you alerts for people.
Right.
Like you can.
Yeah. You can. No.
Liz, you're gonna have the
alerts. No. I mean, it's that's what I'm saying. It's just, I think it's a lot of money to spend for a reoccurring service when you can get it for.
And multiple people can have
anybody
on their cell phone.
Yeah.
You can put all of us on that cell phone.
How long does that record for?
2 weeks.
30 days or
something. No, so once the motion triggers it, how long does it record?
Oh, these I have a set where they're constantly recorded. And the DVR will hold it for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And you're going to know if there's an incident.
But some of them
are
2 weeks.
Yeah, depending on the terabyte size.
Can you get back to some of the vendors that you're using Paul for, or give us?
Yeah, Amazon.
Okay. But, I mean, what brands they are. And,
yeah, it's whatever, you know.
I mean.
There's all different.
I mean, we have, I think it's like 6,600 roughly of
counts. And some of them, you can talk through, you know, if someone's there. You can listen in.
Most of I can.
But you can even listen in. Like, if you don't want to talk to them, you can just listen, you know.
We have that in our security in our house, and my father was.
So what?
I was like, Dad, what are you doing?
He's like. So let's get two other. I mean, I think this is a good topic that we should resolve. We'll get two other options. You know, hopefully, maybe before next meeting, and
that was additional interior ones too, because we don't have one in the cafeteria.
Yeah, the full interior. Right?
Well, these are all interior or exterior. No, yeah. Night vision.
We have one that goes down.
Huh?
Do we want security?
You can get 10, 16, 24.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean,
especially
I think that more is
the quality is
insurance protection.
Right. Alright, so let's, anybody, I mean, I can go get to them, I guess. If Jared, if anybody's got any other vendors, Paul. But I want an install. I don't want these. I'm not.
You know what I mean?
That's good.
I mean,
I'm not doing that.
No.
Zoom
in. Whoever, if there's companies out there that can sell it to us, or
I'm just saying, there's a lot of
alarm cards that have something
on. Right? Yeah, I mean,
these things are. Yeah.
Who's our alarm company now?
Doyle.
Just a lot of money to spend on something.
Well, let's check.
And these have been up for 6 years.
Okay. All right. So let's try to get two more or whatever. If anybody's got thoughts on cameras. Let's bring it forward for our next meeting, and then we can weigh our total options. Because again, for a procurement policy, we're going to go into that kind of deal for, you know, 5 years for 10. We should at least get a couple different options, and we can weigh it out and move forward on that.
Could you please forward me the Doyle contact?
Sure.
So I can have them.
Well, you can kind of get some of the standalone bits for us, and maybe come up with somebody that would install it if we need it. It's a number, but it's not gonna solve our problems.
I don't think they're boiling anymore either.
Cemetery, yeah, just on that item a little bit.
They still use Doyle signs, but they were bought out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very different company. So, but let's do a little research and we'll go from there.
Fix your board.
I know.
I guess we can bring it up at the May meeting. I'm not sure if we need, you know, because we do have some another part-time, in, you know, that's, you know, Peter that's up there. So if we work him more, we might make it without bringing somebody in, since we kind of got to... I put that in. But if they're going to give us somebody, then we're in pretty good shape without bringing on. So it's another one for tomorrow.
But that was what I brought up.
If we can get to somebody from workforce, we should be able to make it. Or we can give the individuals we have their additional hours. But we can talk about that more in personnel in an executive session, I guess, would probably be more appropriate. Another one that I have is a CSEA contract. We can either vote on that now if everybody's happy, or we can talk about it in the executive session. You know, for the highway. Everybody familiar with that somewhat?
Yeah, I was definitely on it.
Seems fair.
Yeah, but it's fair, right? So it would be public knowledge if we're going to vote on it. But we went across the board for three years on the individuals that are there. And we worked, if the employees, again, it's a lot of different points in here, but the gist of it's a 3.5 across the board if everybody stays where they are. And we all know how they ratified it at their level. I feel it's a very, you know, I think it's fair for us, and I think it's fair to our employees. I mean, I feel it's a good contract all the way around, and they felt the same way.
So that makes a motion to allow the supervisor to sign the CSE.
Thank you. Sorry. Second, if I Paul, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion is okay. Very good. Anything else that we want to? Well, Patrick, do you have something you want to talk about?
Yes, summer rec.
Summer rec.
So I reached out to Pastor Snowden last week. He got back to me to use his facility for July 26th through August 10th. He agreed. He's still going to have the okay from the school. They want a contract from the town now. So I reached out to Ted earlier, gave him like a little high level what she's looking for. I asked him to do a favor and get it done rather quickly.
And we had no contract last year.
We've never had a contract.
Yeah, never.
So do we have a contract for them to use our field?
No.
No, that's actually...
Well, they didn't enforce it.
And they're using it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good for us or not good for them?
Well, the superintendent probably doesn't know any better.
She might not know about it.
Right?
Right.
I'm trying
to work with her because I want this program to happen.
I know, but I'm just saying.
I've expressed that without the school, the program won't take place. So, there's that. And I'm finalizing the DOH permit. I found out today that the school nurse will not be available to us. And part of the requirements for the DOH permit is we need to have somebody that is available to administer medications. And George is not able to do that. He's not certified to do that. So I have a call into DOH to find out if there's a way around that.
Parents can get rid of their child their medication?
They're not listed on the permit.
Can you reach out to Caro Summer Rec? Because they do it and they don't have their school nurse because I am not part of the program.
It all depends if they have to have the DOH permit. The DOH permit is new to town too, but you never have to do it.
But if they got to do it, you would think they would have to. So that's what I'm saying. You reach out to.
I think it depends on, does the school run the summer rec program in Care?
How come the school
is not going to
be available?
The superintendent said no.
Caro.
Does she know that
the history of Caro a little bit in the past?
Can I go with you to the next meeting?
4 or 5 years they didn't have to do this. And then a couple of years ago they did go to the Department of Health in Caro.
The only thing they needed last year to make sure people were certified in CPR.
Yep.
And they can only have so many kids for so many people that work with it.
We're required one certified CPR and first aid within this fiscal year, one for every 200.
But I've never heard anything of medication. I've been doing it for 5 years out there, and there's not one school nurse there.
This is all part of
brand new.
My wife worked in early childhood learning, and at that point, they needed somebody to be able to administer medicine at their location. Somebody has to be able to do that.
Parents can do it.
Right. You call them and say you get rad.
If
we don't have a nurse or somebody certified, we're not going to have this program either.
That's what I need to find out.
You know what I mean?
We didn't have the nurse last year for what?
But we also didn't have to go through this permit process last year.
But they have the school nurse there in summer school.
Well, and if we shift over to the community life church, that then we're still going to be in that boat. If we're going to do that for a few weeks, we're still going to.
So does the school run it, or?
No, the town.
The town runs the same, so that's the same thing. The school doesn't run that summer rec either.
DOAs might not be knocking down the door yet. We ran the program in the village and town for years, 30 years, never had to fill out this permit before. So.
I know the only thing they got the school to do was donate lunches if kids wanted it, and couldn't afford it. They would bring the lunches to them.
But regardless of that, we're still going to proceed planning the program to happen, so.
And you're going to work the fee schedules out on that?
Yep, that was, you know, Mark's doing that. We were thinking $50 a head. It's for 5 weeks, 3 hours.
What was the fee last year?
100.
75.
75.
But we're limiting, it's less.
It was 50 kids, it's all here today.
Yeah, so I think $50. And then one director, assistant director, and seven counselors.
How are the children going to be selected on a panel?
First come, first served.
First come, first served.
Yeah, Barb has the application typed up, and it says that it's first come, first served, space is limited.
Then we just got to make sure that it's released to every, when those applications go out, that everybody has a.
Yeah, we're working with the school to hand out the school.
Right, so I want everybody to get it kind of at the same time.
And what they do is when they get them back, they stamp them.
Yep.
Well, they're coming to town home. Everything will come to town home.
You'll take it down from here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The fee for the, we have Barb set at 25. The assistant, she was thinking 19. And then each council, 15.
Yeah, we can pick up some free guys.
And if we can pick up. But the thing with that is the school wants whoever's doing this to be town employees.
Well, technically,
then we can't do this. I mean, and the abbreviated schedule, I'm not sure it's going to work with the workforce at Cobreen anyway. Huh? We only need seven counselors.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing with all the minimum wage? Last year we gave everybody that were.
1380.
We gave them minimum wage as the.
1380, I think it was a 1320, something like that.
Right.
Well, that's why I asked before if that was minimum wage, because it should be seasonal help, the seasonal help, whether they're at the highway, the cemetery, or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Because it's only 3 hours. Yeah. Last year was what? Our payroll was a fraction.
Was it daycare?
Yeah, it was a fraction.
A lot of these are the first time. I mean, I'm okay with it, but I'm just saying it's different. I'm more comfortable with it with Barb running the program at $15 an hour,
right.
Because I observed what happened in some days last year, and I would be more inclined to give them $15 an hour. I mean, the minimum wage for something. But I mean, Barb's going to hold the employee more accountable to do something for her. So.
Well, there are also kids who have worked with her for the most part. And they're going to have a level of respect and expectation.
For only being 3 hours a day, right? You got to make it worth somebody's while to want to.
And I think for a short period of time, it might be difficult to get the employee to come for.
Right,
to
for less than $15. Right.
The nice thing was the payroll is coming in much lower than.
You're talking $45 a day.
Any feedback from the community center about their.
Just the thing that they're going to offer grants with a maximum of $5,000 to each out.
So they want us to go through an application process, like we just can't send the letters that are doing this and that.
And another thing is, how poorly they do is if they want Carroll kids, right, to go to the Carroll Summer Rec, just like you want Catskill. Mm-hmm. But if somebody lives in Carroll wants to come to Catskill, they charge them a fee to come to the Summer Rec.
Yeah, we're not opening up that.
I mean, the only way we do that if we actually had vacancies and that, right? That's
but they charge the fee, I'm trying to say. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I think if that's the case, you got to charge them.
So, can we go back to the $5,000 for scholarships? Mm-hmm. How do we determine that?
We're not doing scholarships.
Not scholarships. What did you just say?
From Summer Rec, or the
community center.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they we got to apply.
I'm sorry, I thought I heard you say like.
No, we have to apply to the community center for $5,000.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's all they're going to give.
We know $2,500 is coming from the cable.
Yeah, do we need to send them a letter?
So what's the second counselor's going to get? The second?
19.
So from the group we had last year, I'm fairly certain that for the number that we're going to choose from, they'll be repeat, because they'll be seniors now, a lot of them.
Yeah. Well,
or already graduated.
That'll be up to Barb, you and Jared, because right. My daughter applied, mm-hmm. So I'm going to stay out of that process.
And I know she works at the school. I've been her dad. She, I can't recall the lady's name. She was very good last year, and she was, you know, just verbally with me, she was interested. But she works at the school. I'm sure Barb's.
So, I'm still stuck on this nurse thing. Hmm. So nobody in our ambulance squad is.
No, you have to be basically a nurse or a doctor. In order to.
Aren't they licensed to administer medication? Are EMTs?
Drugs that we are prescribed to. Life-sinister, life-saving drugs, yeah.
You have to be an RN in the school or an LPN under an RN supervision.
I asked my wife that, because I swear she had other people at early, but I mean, that was a few years back.
So what kind of medications are we going to be?
But that's all for the children and families.
Unless it's an emergency.
It's not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not New York State public schools.
It's just a question of application.
It's different. It's crazy. They're run on different paths.
Right. We might not have Medicaid, so.
If I just remember her saying, I
right,
don't
so
if
we
do that. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I just closed my mind. How did they go?
Hopefully Andrew calls me tomorrow and I can talk to him and try to, you know, maybe talk him out of us having to fill this out.
Yeah, that would be a good thing if we didn't have to go through that.
It's good thing it's a county that's so proper enough.
It would, because then we wouldn't have to go through this.
Correct.
I just thought.
I'm still stuck on the school.
Okay. Anything else you want
to?
No. We're at the meeting with just a briefing on the Champlain Valley. What is the electric line going from Quebec down to Queens, New York? So there's a map of the routing of it. It's changed. It's not going through Allen Street. It's going to go down. So,
October.
October, so they might start looking around trimming trees October and then into the winter months. So it's the
road down is cement.
Oh,
yeah. The Sean still green. I mean,
oh, that's a town road.
I know it is.
Yep.
All the way. But there's no houses down there, is it?
No.
So it looks like they're going right down the middle of the road. Mm-hmm. Are they going to repave this road and everything when they're done?
Yeah.
And that's where those agreements that are set to 10 today. And Sean's got to be in the loop a little bit to what spec, so he wants those to be brought back.
So the concrete, I think it's 4 inches of concrete. Because Alpha is concrete.
Yes, it is. I remember that. That's why I had a case.
Why do we still own that? There's no ground left on it.
That's to our chips inventory.
Okay. Anything else?
That's 3 bucks, too.
I'm okay with that, you know, the church using it for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with the senior center in general is, but they're not going to utilize the kitchen as far as cooking goes. I mean, at some point, I think we should look at, I don't know when that would be. It's kind of hard just saying, here's the keys of everybody, without having an employee of ours around them. Because you get strangers that come to the building, they don't know where this is, they don't know where that is, the alarm goes off.
Right.
Brian Carlson, he was there painting, he flipped up the thing. And,
right, what happens when our projector gets broken, they leave, don't say nothing to anybody, and they go use it, it doesn't work.
I mean, mean, those are the things that I think we have, we got to start looking at a little bit.
Right, like I said, that was an $8,000 investment up there.
It gets knocked over, whatever happens. So I, at some point in time, and I don't know what our staffing was, like who's really going to go down on the, at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock and stay for 4 hours with somebody. But
right, and you're looking to use it till 9:30 at night.
Like where you there was for the last one.
I locked up yesterday at 7:30.
But if you get a crowd there, especially like the DEC group, and they need assistance, who's going to field the phone calls? Or I mean, they may not need anything, but it was like Liz was there yesterday for when the Thruway Authority was there.
But they only had five people come. The entire time. This is 100 people.
Who's going to ensure that it's put back together the way it's supposed to be in? Because it's not changed.
If it's not changed, it's right here. Shelby calls me, he's using an election day. But again,
nobody thinks it's an election day and there's hundreds of people to the building.
Right, but I would have to add when you get there on election day, you got, say, Jean Young, you got people there that are election inspectors that are frequent the senior center, so they're familiar with that building. They got local individuals that are there, and that's why it could be better, absolutely, but at least some people are have some you know, they're familiar with the building.
Yeah, but we can move the projector screen and lock it in the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm. But you're also going
to, I mean, I'm not saying not to do it this time, but I think these long term we got to start looking about how are we going
to
manage.
Well, we did used to have a policy fee schedule, and we stopped all that, so.
I think we should have
a minor covered the cost of an employee. Maybe.
Correct. And I think that's something we got to look at. I mean, when the church organization used it.
Not for profits, there was no fee.
But the nonprofit, when they had their dinners.
And municipalities, no fee.
They made a $100 donation to the, you know, to the seniors themselves, not to us. So they did give back as a nonprofit. So, and again, you got Harvard Catskill, but those are the same individuals that use it all the time, or Cultivate Catskill. I mean, okay with then they're smaller groups. But again, I don't know what DEC's actually their intentions are.
You're talking 100 plus people.
Well, maybe rather than us deciding on that, is it you need to call the contact person to find out what's about?
Yeah. Let's get a little more information. When is it scheduled, Liz, though?
May 11th. May 10th or
11th. And they're going to want to know now,
the
10th, so they can schedule it.
Right, the 10th is not available.
At this point, I would tell them no.
I could go either way with them, but I mean, I would like somebody to be there for 100 people. I mean, when they filmed there, we were there.
Yeah, they also paid to have someone there. So that's what I mean. It's,
and I mean, there things came up. You know, where's this? Where's that? You know, there was all of a sudden the fumes from the old 1960s cars or something came in because the air conditioner was on. You know, they're looking in there and start saying, "Well, wait a minute, I'm going to shut the HVAC system down." And, you know, so you just, it's good to have somebody there. And frankly, I'm not going to raise my hand to sit down there for a DEC meeting. That's really not a big thing for us.
Why don't they use Cordell? Don't they always use the Cordell Hall? Might not be known.
So let's find out. Let's find out what their intentions are. I guess if it's what it's about.
Direct them to the county. It's 25 volunteer drive.
25. That's a good spot. And if they really want to lease a place, I think they can go down to the Elks Club
or Snowden's place. Right. Got the gym up there.
Let's give them a couple more suggestions, and if they, you know, then we can readdress it. I'm inclined not to. Especially for there's nonprofits in some towns that I've looked up, and there's nonprofits that aren't really Catskill oriented. You know, they're not originating from our community, and that those individuals do have a smaller fee, you know, a fee, but it's.
I'm not comfortable allowing them using a projector screen.
Well, they're definitely going to use that. I mean, we're not experts on that.
I would basically say at this point that we're not inclined to allow them to use it. Thank you.
We're only using nonprofits from Catskill. I think that's what how we.
Okay, so that's.
Senior Center.
What's that?
It's the Catskill Senior Center.
It's there for Catskill residents.
I just put a lot of money into it, and
That's, I think, and that's really what I think our want is. And again, we don't have staff, even if we charge somebody $100, I mean, who's
that
staff?
We don't have a custodian that works nights in the town.
And it's busy most every night at somebody there, except like on Thursdays, Fridays. It's used pretty heavily. So let's decline that. Let's not entertain that.
Okay.
I mean, that's a Thursday night. Who's going to put it back together for Friday morning?
Well, that's what I said.
Whoever says yes. So I'm good with that. All right. Anything else?
Yes. The cemetery in Leeds, I had an email from a gentleman who wanted to know who maintains the cemetery in Leeds. Sean mows the cemetery in Leeds. But this gentleman wants to know about repair or replacement of gravestones and who would do that.
So Jimmy and I, we did this year, but every other year forever, we go to his grandparents' grave because every year it gets that white stuff over it, and we clean it out and we maintain it.
Yeah, but I'm sure they're broken.
Yeah, they need to be reset.
No, 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 he sent it to me because he does a lot of genealogy.
Yeah, we got that
today.
Yeah,
that's what the thing was.
Yeah. Gary Harvey, I think, used to run that. He'd do the cleaning and resetting and all that stuff. It would get volunteers to come in.
Oh, in Campbellville?
Yeah.
Our responsibility is that the town mows it, but we're not responsible to do any other type of upkeep.
So if somebody wants to.
Yeah, if somebody wants to.
Then who should I recommend he contact?
I don't know.
Do you have his contact information?
I have his email address, of course, yeah.
I mean, you can call Anderson Recess Stones, don't they?
Right. But we're not in the business. And if he's from Leeds, obviously, I can talk.
No. He's from out of state.
Right, but he's got relatives there, which.
Right, he has ancestors who are buried there, yes.
But, I mean, we got old sections in the Catskill Cemetery that we're maintaining now that we have in the very old section that we have marble-style stones that were attempted to put back together, I think, when Billy Ottinger worked there, but, they're not that successful in doing that, and a lot of them are broken. They break again. The stones are so soft that, they're just... And a lot of those marble stones at this point, it's so worn and weathered that you really can't even detect who you see.
There's actually a lot of these old cemeteries around.
Yeah. I do find a grave myself, and somebody had a request for the Du Bois Cemetery down in the Bayou.
Right.
And I went down to the Du Bois, and I have pictures on my phone. I got an email in my back through find a grave. There's old stones, but there's no way. You just can't detect any kind of lettering whatsoever.
Right.
So I think that's just the way it happens to be when they're that old. It's just, if he can identify somebody out there that he wants to pay for and do it, maybe he can do something like that, but we're not going to maintain it.
I don't think we're going to maintain it. I think let him call Henderson.
Exactly. We're maintaining it as a respectful place.
They're all over back in the day. They're all over the place. They're all over the town. That's good.
Yeah, I used to mow Palmerville and I did the weed whack for years.
You got one on
the private cemetery.
Woven Road there.
Well, a good example.
There's an old one on Underhill Road. Underhill and Quarterstone.
Rabbit Lane is another one.
Yeah. Is there another good example is right on Tool House Road across
right,
the highway.
Road.
We had the Eagle Scout that was here last July 4th when it was had the COVID at the time, but he did a nice job. He's got all those marble stones cleaned. They're down in the woods. So, if somebody wants to volunteer and work on them, that's great.
Maybe the Boy Scouts or something.
Or maybe we can drop that seed in the school district and maybe one of their government students can do that as a part of their credit for their class.
I haven't walked up there in years. I'll have to walk up there. Bois, I think they do their own. I don't think we do Du Bois. That's in the middle.
The family ones we don't maintain, but all of the other ones,
the bigger ones we do.
Yes.
The one on 32,
there's one on, I believe, Old Kings Road, too, that, yeah.
We do that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do a little, you know,
a lot of
like, I think one of the students, if he wants that, then he'll have to get a lot of money to make a company.
Yeah. A lot of those. No, but a lot of those are near old churches. They were probably all old church cemeteries.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It was a Catholic church, but, you know, on Church Street. I mean, I agree, like, we're across from that, but I don't know how those dates.
But that was also a farm. A lot of farmers buried themselves
in front of the ground.
And then you do it for one, then you have multiple people banging on the door.
We're maintaining them in a respectful manner now by mowing and weed whacking them. That's just the nature of how it goes.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Do you want
to always remember something else?
I think we should.
Yeah. George wants to wait till the next meeting.
Send a letter to the superintendent regarding the contract for the baseball field.
I don't have the contract. To send the letter, right.
For the base of the baseball field. For the
right.
Baseball field for the school?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And Ted's doing one for the record room.
Well, you've got a hold of one.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, me too.
Anything else? If not, we can go down to my 12 executive sessions.
Yeah. Motion to go on executive session to discuss personnel issues. We will make no determinations and we'll come out and adjourn. Our current
motion is seconded by one.